What are the number one issues? Well, I guess if there's more than one, they're not they can't be number one. But what are the really high priority issues for you this congressional session?
Well, obviously, we are still fighting a lot of the anti-federal worker initiatives that are being debated, especially as we move into the budget and deficit talks. As your listeners already know, there's a lot of potential adverse federal worker measures that are being contemplated, and we are, again, as last year, trying to debunk a lot of the myths with respect to federal pay and federal benefits and how federal workers still have as many rising costs and health care costs and college costs that everyone else does, their private sector counterparts. So trying to debunk a lot of the myths and then talk about, while we all know we have shared sacrifice with respect to the budget, the entire solution does not rest on the backs of federal workers.
I kind of group you and your colleagues in the federal advocacy battle in there are two camps as I review the materials that you're sending to the Hill and that you're sending to the media and so forth. There are some folks that are in what I'm calling proactive mode, and that is advocating for increases to pay and benefits. And there's what I'm calling a maintenance mode, where there are folks that are saying, we understand there are sacrifices, but don't cut what we already have. Maybe you can comment on whether you think my characterizations make sense, and then, if so, whether you feel like few fits into one or the other right now.
Well, I think we certainly are in maintenance mode, because, as I said before, we all do have to sacrifice, and times are tough, and they're still tough, and my members very much appreciate the fact that they do have good jobs and good benefits. And even when the president instituted his two-year pay freeze, we did not come out swinging. We accepted it and said, you know, again, we're all going to sacrifice. The problem that we see is that there's a lot of different measures out there, and some of them not well thought out. For instance, a furlough or across-the-board cuts that they don't even work, and still they're getting credence and they're still being pursued on Capitol Hill. So we got to be smart about these things and come to the federal worker organizations. We're pledging to help legislators, and let's come up with some workable solutions, not these crazy willy-nilly solutions that are only going to impact the services. And that's the other point that we have been making over and over and over. It's not necessarily just about the benefits and the pay of federal workers. More importantly, it's about the services that are provided to every American in the United States. Some of them might not even realize it until those services are gone, but the safe food, the safe drugs, the clean air, the Social Security checks, the unemployment checks, I mean, go on and on and on, airline safety. These would not be possible with an effective federal workforce. And to keep saying, well, they're the problem in this country is just not fair.
The reason I ask about your view about the difference in the proactive versus the maintenance types of camp is I think there's still a perception on the Hill that federal employee advocacy groups are always asking for more, more, more. And I'm not hearing that from some of the other folks that I'm talking to. And it doesn't sound like that's where few is headed either.
No, and truly, we never really have. Like I said, we know we have good benefits. We know we've got good jobs. And they appreciate these jobs. And more importantly, they appreciate that they can help so many Americans. So historically, we haven't really been lobbying for more pay or better benefits. We look at some fairness issues. For instance, we had the Social Security measures, the government pension offset and windfall elimination provision, which we thought just weren't fair. But we have rarely advocated for additional benefits. And we are certainly in defense mode with this current Congress.
Somebody told you were only going to have one legislative success this year. What would you choose if you could choose any?
One legislative success might be actually a women's issue. We are working on two women's issues, paycheck fairness and the Equal Rights Amendment. So I think specifically for advocacy, proactive lobbying for enactment of a bill, that's what we would have to go with.
Janet, what should we take away from the entire conversation about pay and benefits in the federal government? There's a lot of proposals out there. Congressman Dennis Ross is proposing a bill that would change the high three to a high five, pay more into the pension plan, all those kinds of things. Are there any of those that you think are at least a start, or are all of those issues impacting the package, the benefit package, to such a point that you're not, that you don't think there's a place to talk about it?
Well, as we've gone up and talked to staff on the Hill, we have said there is some wiggle room on a lot of these issues. The problem is that you've got everything in this basket, and you can't hit the pay, the pension, the high three to the high five, increased pension. You're going to see a massive amount of retirement. You're going to lose those middle managers and top managers, and incoming new young people are not going to want to work for the federal government, not only because of the lower benefits that now are going to be on par with a lot of the private sector, but you know, the whole anti-federal worker bashing.
Mm-hmm.
No one's going to want to work for the federal government. So that's our fear. Yeah, there are things that they're talking about that we could possibly swallow, but we can't swallow everything, and that's our main concern.